world to drink. Techno-progressivo, you are listening to Techno-progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Wah, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I've got another great interview and track retrospective on tap today in the form of techno industrial producer Minimal Violence. And I will get to that shortly, but first let's check out this episode's tracks of the week. Both of these going in a tech house direction. First up is a FX track that makes use of a Deep Forest sample. This is called Lullaby. Okay, a couple of nice tracks of the week there. Finishing off with an update of the classic Yeke Yeke. A couple of nice jams there for you to check out on your favorite online retailer. Now on to the feature for tonight's episode, an interview all the way from Berlin. This is truly underground techno, breaky industrial music from Ash of Minimal Violence. Full track list for this and a selection of Minimal Violence web links can be found at the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. It's a great interview. Here is what they had to say.
Okay, this is DJ Watt speaking to Berlin-based producer Ash of Minimal Violence, originally from Vancouver. They've been producing and performing over the past decade. They are a regular of the Berlin club scene with frequent appearances all over Europe and Canada. So it's my pleasure to be speaking to Ash of Minimal Violence. To begin with, how would you define your sound?
I guess kind of like lots of breaks, acid, ravey, but influenced by like industrial music and pop equally. Kind of all over the place.
Did you have any musical training when you were younger that helped you out as you got into producing?
Yes, I did 10 years of like Royal Conservatory piano. Okay. Although I was never good at it, and I think I like got worse as those 10 years went on.
Do you feel like what you learned from that actually was applicable to what you do now?
Oh, definitely. Like with Minimal Violence or even with Lié, like just like understanding notation and like just not to read notation or anything, but just like understanding how musical structures work and being able to like speak that language, I think is something really important that if you're introduced to music really early on, you never unlearn that.
We'll be right back. Is there anything about life and growing up in Vancouver that inspired you to produce the type of music that you do?
So I didn't grow up in Vancouver, but I did spend the majority of the years that I started really focusing on music in Vancouver. And I think a major influence was the industrial and minimal synth scene there, and how that kind of scene operated, and also how the house and techno scene operated there too, how everyone was very focused around gear and hardware because everyone kind of came from band culture. And I think that has always been something that's translated heavily into my music. Like when me and Lita first started making music, it was focused around getting a live show together. It was never about producing a track. It was about okay, how can we make at least a 30-minute set so we can play a show with our friends?
What prompted you to move to Berlin, and how has that worked out for you?
Pre-pandemic, we were doing a lot of traveling back and forth and touring in Europe, and it just kind of seemed that logically, if we were to try to do this as a full-time thing, the only way would be to actually move here, because it was a lot of I was lucky enough to have a job that allowed me to come back, go back and forth a lot, but still it wasn't financially really making sense to be doing it. So yeah, we came here to kind of just jump straight in and tour as much as possible, and then the world happened and things have kind of taken a turn.
So when it isn't COVID time, what is the underground scene in Berlin like, and how easy is it for you to get gigs there on a regular basis?
I guess one aspect of it that I came to realize after moving here is that this whole scene that had been underground in Canada and in North America for the most part is not underground here. it's kind of mainstream. So that aspect is kind of interesting in a way. That means that there's a lot more shows and a lot more venues like established that are supporting this type of music. But at the same point, there's also a lot more artists. And especially in Berlin, there's a lot of artists that are just established in communities here. So although we have received support, and especially starting in with a label like Trezor, which has an established space here, was really good. But it's definitely been a change from being in a city like Vancouver, where the support was really based around like having connections within every club, like being like, oh, you want to play a show? Well, I can book that show and make that happen, rather like having to kind of wait for somebody else to initiate that.
Okay, so earlier on you mentioned that when you first started getting into this, that you wanted just to produce a live set. How did that transition into you producing music, and how did you first get into that?
We first were putting together a live set for a show at Index that we had hosted, and a DJ that we really liked that was coming through town, and we decided we want to play that as our first show. So, you know, we got some material together. I think actually simultaneously, because we had gotten the material together for the show, do a release with that. So we just recorded a few of the tracks that we had made for live and recorded them in their live format. And put that onto a CD and actually published that with a book that we had gotten printed in a local print shop. And yeah, so that was actually the first release that coincided with the first live gig. It was definitely different than the way that I approach producing now. And it was more focused around like just getting a single pass recording through a tape machine of a live set. But that was kind of the first production that we did.
Okay, and when you do you produce with a DAW, or do you prefer just to perform live and then record that as it is?
Previously, we had focused a lot around performing live and recording that into the DAW. So since that very first recording, everything after that has been at least some component of it has been based in the DAW. Even if we were to record the tape, there would still be like multi-layers in Vancouver, we had an 8-channel sound card and would just record kind of jams and passes of the live set into the DAW, and then utilize like breakaway parts of that, but still utilize the same structure. So it had the feeling of a live performance. I still do that, but things have, because of the amount of time that we've spent at home in the past 2 years, I've gotten a lot more focused around just producing from, like, rather with the live set strictly in mind, and more so with the final outcome in mind.
If you can tell me, what is the DAW that you use when you are producing?
Ableton.
Okay, easy enough. And then when you first started out, what aspect of production did you find most challenging?
I guess one thing is that I've always used hardware. So right from the beginning, incorporating a DAW, there's so many things you have to kind of, like, so many little glitches you have to work out, and like trying to learn how to overcome all of that, like how to deal with the latency, how to deal with things not syncing, like how to get MIDI out from the computer into a DIN sync like box, and all of that I found the most challenging, to actually get the DAW set up in a way that was functional. And I think that probably took almost a year to like really deal with so many different like little glitches that I would be kind of working with the DAW, but it wasn't fully working. But yeah, I think that's always been the most difficult part.
So I've looked at photos online. It looks like you have a lot of toys. So I'm just kind of curious, what is the current live performance setup that you use and why do you use that?
When we had been touring, I guess the very last shows, our setup was always based around what we could fit into two carry-on suitcases. That was key because I don't trust putting things under a plane. On my end, I had the MPC 1000, which is the hub of the whole live show. Each track is kind of broken down onto there, and that sequences the Blofeld and the Virus for synths, and also had a 303 clone. That was kind of all going on my end, where Lita on her end would have I think at the time we had the Analog Rhythm and the 707 that she did all the drums on. And that wasn't controlled by the MPC. It was just, it was MIDI like in sync, but she did all the drum programming on there. And yeah, I think that's about all, a few like delay and effects. But right now I'm rewriting the live set for the upcoming shows in September, just so it can be done with just me. And I'm still kind of figuring out exactly how that's going to go. But as in its current form, what I'm working with is the MPC at the core of everything, and the Virus still, the 303, and then a series of modular effects that are running Ascend to the mixer, and then a few different delay units, and might add in a machine drum. Gotta look what the suitcase is looking like at this point.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
You are listening to my interview with Ash from Minimal Violence. I'm DJ Wah. This is Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. A full track list and a big collection of Minimal Violence web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. On to part two of the interview.
How do you approach programming a set? Do you have a lot of programmed drums in there? Do you do a lot of live drumming? Do you use stems, that sort of thing? What is your approach? And is a lot of it improvised?
A lot of it is... I don't know if you're familiar with how the MPC works, but utilizing the pad mute view, I'll create, let's say, like 16 different tracks for a song. And so once I'm in that song or track, I can toggle each of those 16 different things. So to kind of like switch up what's going on, like some kicks, some synths, and like mix and match what's in there a lot. But each of those things I will pre-program, and I don't use stems or anything like that. It's all just sequenced. So some of it is samples sequenced in there, and a lot of like breaks in there, and then some is just triggers going out to the different MIDI instruments. And then with like things like the 707 or the analog rhythm, they would just have their own patterns in them that are separate and just each selected and triggered left.
Just curious, mentally, is it hard for you to keep track of that on occasion, or is it fairly easy? Are you able to kind of like make sure that everything's running the way it should be?
Lita would always keep, like, she would have a card with just little notes. I don't actually fully understand what they said sometimes, but they made sense to her. That would just kind of remind her of like which patterns had like which elements in them and which ones went well with different ones, parts that I was triggering. For me though, because my center is the MPC, I can just label each different pad. So I knew exactly what my mutes were, and also in the same way, I would label them really weird things. So to somebody else, it would make absolutely no sense. But to me, I would know what those words meant. So that was my system for kind of knowing how things flowed.
Over your career, are there any countries or specific clubs or events that you've absolutely loved to play at or are hoping and excited to play at possibly in the future?
I definitely still have yet to go to Tbilisi, and that's somewhere that I would really love to play. Also, yeah, I mean, I'd love to do some touring in South America, just something out of like the really core European club centers. But at the same point, there are some of those that I would really like to play too, like Amsterdam. I had one really good show there. I'm excited to kind of hopefully go back soon. But yeah, I think one of my favorite venues has always been White Hotel in Manchester. It's really good. And Deep Blue in Vancouver is still number one, I think, for my favorite venue. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sound-wise and just like energy-wise.
Have you ever had a gig go horribly wrong? And do you want to share that information?
Sustained Release, which in theory should have been like the best show ever. Like we were so excited to play. It's this really tiny little festival in the Catskills, just outside New York. And it's super, like all of the best artists play there each year. And we were so excited to get invited. And we had a really great time slot. And we were playing right after DJ Stingray, and we started, and for some reason we had unplugged the gear beforehand, so we just started it back up about 5 minutes before we were about to play. And the 909 clone we were using at the time wouldn't start up, so in a panic I decided to program some hi-hats into the MPC just so we at least had that default, so that it didn't feel like it was missing that. In the meantime, Lita figured out how to get the 909 working. So I was like, okay, well then we're fine. And we started our set. The first thing that happened is when the first synth dropped in, it was just dead silent. And I couldn't figure out what was going on, and somebody had tripped the power on the pedals that were running, the synth was running through. So that I kind of like figured out, clicked it back in, and the sound came back. I was like, okay, we're good. And then we got to the second track, and everything was fine for four bars, and then everything went dead silent. And I realized that I had programmed in a hurry, I had quickly programmed in these hi-hats into the MPC. I had done 16 bars of them, and there was 8 bars in there. So anyways, it had created 8 empty bars. And I was like, oh, fuck. It takes probably 5 minutes to reload the MPC. So I was like, okay, there has to be a way around this. So I figured if I would hit the trigger on the exact second that we were about to hit the 8th bar, that it would loop back to the beginning. So I was doing that, but if it was done even a second or a millisecond off, it would throw everything out of sync.
Oh.
And so things just started getting like super cacophonous, and everything was just like clanking all over the place. And so, and I knew there was nothing else to do except for like stop and restart, but we couldn't find the sound tech. And there was just like, it was 3 a.m. and there was just like 500 people in front of us. It was like, fuck. Oh, eventually, man, just had to press the stop and yell, sorry, 2 minutes. And DJ Stingray came like running up and put on a track, luckily, but it was, yeah, it was pretty irrecoverable and embarrassing.
Can you tell me one or two producers or DJs whom you really admire and why?
A big influence I've always gone back to is Chris and Cozy. Through their work with Robin Gristle and through their solo work, I've always just really admired the way their sound kind of shifts and their way they just like, I don't know, the way they use sonics and atmospherics in this way that it's unique to them and it creates just a very metallic world. They're somebody who I've always really referenced from the beginning as influence. So yeah, Christoph de Babylon, I find, is somebody who's created a very like hauntological kind of like sound, but the way he works with breaks and just like the kind of worlds that he creates in these tracks that are kind of bass, it's like drum bass but also very atmospheric. Yeah, he's somebody I very much admire.
And then the final question here, is there anything that you want to promote right now?
I've been working on new music, but there's nothing that's like announced right now. I guess like the most recent thing that came out was the Scream remix. Definitely an interesting one for us to do. I was super excited to get asked to do that. That's kind of a different community, so it's been really good exposure. But yeah, outside of that, just working on finally getting the live set together again and playing some shows in September. Hopefully the third Tracer release should be on its way soon. Just finishing up a couple more tracks, and I think 2022 is going to be hopefully a lot better than the last 2 years.
This has been Ash from Minimal Violence. A selection of Minimal Violence tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, and Juno Download, as well as Bandcamp. A full list of Minimal Violence web links can also be found on the Tech and Progressivo Facebook page. So thank you very much for doing this, Ash.
Trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Ash for interviewing and showing off their production shops. If you like the music, head over to Techno Progressivo's Facebook page for a full track list and a collection of Minimal Violence web links.
If you've enjoyed the show and want to hear this episode and other great DJ mixes and interviews from days of yore, go to CITR.ca, check out the Techno Progressivo show page. Alternatively, you can go to Apple Podcasts for the same great collection of past episodes. Up next is a two-hour shot of trance from DJ Smiley Mike and his show Transcendence. Before we go, though, let's set the controls in the time machine for this week's track from the past. For this one, let's hop back 13 years for a breaky number from Meet Katie. This is the Dylan Rhymes remix of Heart of Darkness. Enjoy it, and I'll see you back here in 2 weeks.
From above.